بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who followed the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the third principle from the treatise Al-Usul al-Sitta, the six fundamental principles which were authored by Al-Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Tamimi rahimahullah. And before we begin the third principle, who can summarize for me the second principle? Who can summarize the second principle? Tayyib.
Second principle is unity and how all the Muslims should be united.
Ahsant. Amrullahi bil ijtima', that Allah has ordered us, the Muslims, to be united. Wa naha an ittafarruqi fi ddin, and Allah forbade us from being disunited. From the brothers who are here in the last lesson, can anybody mention to me an evidence, i.e. an ayah or a hadith, with regards to this principle? Any ayah or hadith with regards to this principle? Dawood? Anybody?
The Muslims are like one body.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِّهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ كَالْجَسَدِ الْوَاحِدِ, that the example of the believers, all of the Muslim ummah, is like a single body in how much they love for each other, how much they show mercy to each other, and how much compassion they have each other. Now, and many other ayat and ahadith, like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, hold on, all of you together, united to the rope of Allah, and do not be disunited. And Allah said, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ, and do not be like those people who divided and differed amongst each other and they became disunited. And many other ayat and ahadith which we mentioned last week. And then the author, in the last principle, he mentions that there are many amazing affairs in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which also teaches about the importance of being united and the Muslims being together. And in last week's lesson, we went through many, many examples in various aspects of a person's life, in various aspects of Islam, in which Allah orders us to be united and keeps us away from everything which disunites us. So who can mention some of the matters we mentioned last week? And were we here last week? You weren't here. Suleiman mentioned many things. Ahsan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يبيع أحدكم على بيع أخي, that nobody should undercut his Muslim brother. Meaning, if two Muslims have come and they've negotiated and they've agreed on a price for something, so that transaction now is going through, they've agreed on the price, it isn't allowed for a third person to come in and undercut what that person has already offered and they've agreed on those terms. Or a person isn't allowed to say that whatever you've agreed with that person, I'll give you twice as much as what he is offering, as long as they have finished their negotiations and they have agreed with each other. Anything else? Any other example? Talha? Ahsant. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يخطب أحدكم على خطبة أخي, that nobody should come when a proposal is being made to a woman, then a third person isn't allowed to come and also ask for that, for the hand of that woman in marriage. Meaning, the person has to allow them to finish whatever they are discussing, whether it's going ahead or it's not going ahead, and then that person is allowed to come forward. Because all of these things, they're going to create animosity and hatred amongst the Muslim believers. Also, for example, when it comes to straightening the rows, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would physically go and straighten the rows. And sometimes he would use a stick and straighten the chest of the people. And then he would say, لَتَسُوُّنَّ صُفُوفَكُمْ. Either you should straighten your rows, or Allah will cause your faces to be disunited. In another wording, or Allah will cause your hearts to be disunited. So even the straightening of the rows is a command for us to be united. The fact that we all face the same qibla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a single qibla for every single Muslim to face. So they are all united. Riba is not allowed, interest, because it causes hatred and animosity amongst the Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered the Muslims to make dua for each other without letting the other person know that you've made dua for him, because it increases love amongst the Muslims. The giving of the salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, La tadkhulul jannata hatta tu'minu. You will not enter into paradise until you believe. Wala tu'minu hatta tahabu. And you will not have iman until you love each other, meaning as Muslims. He said, Afala adullukum ala shayin idha fa'altumuhu ahbabtum. Should I not tell you of something? If you do this action, you will love each other. He said, Afshaw salam. Give salam to each other. Wa at'imu at'am. And feed each other. And then he said, Tadkhulu jannata rabbikum bisalam. And you will enter the jannah of your Lord in safety and security. So there are many, many things which we discussed last week which bring love and unity amongst the Muslims. And then in this principle, the author says, Al-Aslu Thalith, the third principle, Inna min tamami al-ijtima'i al-sam' wa-ta'a liman ta'ammara alayna walau kana abadan habashiyan. That from the completion and from the perfection of unity is hearing and obeying the one who has authority over us. Wa in kana abdan habashiyan, even if he is an Abyssinian slave. فَبَيَّنَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هَذَا بَيَانًا شَائِعًا ذَائِعًا. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he clearly explained this principle in a manifest and sufficient manner. بِكُلِّ وَجْهٍ مِنْ أَنْوَاعِ الْبَيَانِ شَرْعًا وَقَدْرًا. And he has explained this principle using various means, both religious as well as universal. ثُمَّ صَارَ هَذَا الْأَصْلُ لَا يُعْرَفُ عِنْدَ أَكْثَرِ مَنْ يَدَّعِي الْعِلْمِ فَكَيْفَ الْعَمَلْ بِهِ. Despite this, this principle became unknown amongst the people who claim knowledge, so how could it be applied and practiced? So the third principle is regarding السَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةِ. And السَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةِ is hearing and obeying and accepting the authority of the Muslim rulers who have rule over the Muslims. This is the meaning of as-sam' wa ta'a. And the author, rahimullah, he said, Inna min tamam al-ijtima', that from the completion of unity, meaning the previous principle we spoke about, being united, this unity can only be truly achieved if there is a ruler or a leader amongst the Muslims. Because this ruler, this leader, he comes and he will unite the people. If you have a country without a ruler, without a leader, it's only chaos. And that's why any country requires a ruler or a leader to unite the people. And you will find for this reason that in any situation in which there is a gathering of people, the Sharia legislates an imam, a ruler. So for example, in the masjid where people congregate, there is the imam. And in jihad fi sabilillah, when the Muslims are coming together to fight, there has to be an imam. And in the house where the family is congregated, there is an imam who is the father or the husband of the household. And like this, over a country, there is an imam. And the author, rahimullah, when he's mentioning this principle, he's talking about al-imam al-a'zam, the great imam, meaning the khalifa of the Muslims or the ruler of each country, or the ruler of each country or each land. And the scholars, they mention that an imam, a ruler over the Muslims who is just and righteous, this is a mercy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon that country. Because it is this ruler who is going to look out for their welfare. And this is the ruler who is going to apply the Islamic punishments. And it is this ruler who is going to try to protect their welfare. So because of this ruler, much goodness it comes out. And if this person is the ruler of the country, then he has to have a sam' wa ta'a. Then the citizens in that country, they have to listen to him, they have to obey him, they have to accept his authority. Otherwise, what's the point of him being the ruler of the country? So this is the obligation upon the people. And from those matters which emphasizes the importance of any country having a ruler who is accepted, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he died, the Sahaba alayhim ridwanullah, before they even buried the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had already agreed over their imam, meaning Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So just those few days, they didn't leave it without choosing the imam and accepting his authority, i.e. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buried, and within those few days, they had already chosen Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as to be the Khalifa of the Muslims. And this principle, the principle of sam' wa ta'a, that we should listen and obey and accept the authority of the rulers over us, this is one of the great principles which differentiates between Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Bid'ah. Not now, but right from the early times of Islam, this has always been one of those principles which differentiates between Ahlul Sunnah and the people of innovation. Like, for example, the issue of Iman, that Iman increases and Iman decreases. This was one of the main differences between Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Bid'ah. And also, for example, the Quran. The fact that we say the Quran is not created, it is the speech of Allah. Allah spoke with the Quran. This was one of the issues which differentiated between Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Bid'ah. And also, for example, Al-Qadr, the decree, that we affirm that Allah has a decree, and we affirm that people also have a choice and a will. This was a principle which differentiated between Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Bid'ah. And like this principle, As-Sam' wa Ta'a. Because one of the earliest deviated sects, were the Khawarij. And the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, both of these sects, they deviated in this, As-Sam' wa Ta'a. And they used to call for open rebellion if the Muslim ruler is corrupt or if he has sinned. And the author said that you have to accept the authority of the ruler, وَلَوْ كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا, even if he is an Abyssinian slave. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention this, even if he is an Abyssinian slave? Because at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Quraysh were there just before him, the Abyssinian slave, he was a slave. And he had absolutely no authority. Neither was it even imaginable that he would have any authority or leadership. So the Arabs at that time in that society, they were the masters, and the Abyssinian slave, he was a slave. So they could never imagine that an Abyssinian slave would rule them. Yet despite this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Muslims that even if an Abyssinian slave was to have authority over you and he became your ruler, the ruler of the country, then you have to accept his authority and you have to hear and obey him. And the author said, فَبَيَّنَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he has clarified this principle very clearly in various ways, شَرْعًا وَقَدْرًا, both in the Sharia, and also this principle is clear in terms of what we see around us. Meaning in the Sharia, there are many evidences from the Quran and from the Ahadith and from the statements of the Sahaba which affirm this principle. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيُوا اللَّهِ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولِ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, O people of Iman, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those who have authority over you. So in this ayah, we benefit a number of things. First of all, that we have to obey Allah, and we have to obey the Messenger of Allah, and we have to obey the people of authority over the Muslims, i.e. the Muslim rulers. The second thing we benefit from this ayah, that absolute obedience is only for Allah and His Messenger. Absolute obedience. As for the obedience to the rulers, then it is as long as they do not order us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to obey the rulers in all instance, but if they order us to disobey Allah, then there is no obedience for them. And this is taken from the wording of the ayah. Notice in this ayah, Allah said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allah. O people of iman, obey Allah. Wa ati'u Rasul, and obey the messenger. Then he did not say, Wa ati'u ulil amri minkum. He did not say, and obey the people of authority over you. He said, and the people of authority over you. So notice the word ati'u, obey. It was mentioned when Allah's name was mentioned. It was mentioned when the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioned, but the word ati'u, it wasn't applied when Allah mentioned the people of authority. He just said wa ulil amri minkum, and the people of authority over you, meaning you only obey the people of authority over you, either rulers, if it is in obedience to Allah. If they order you to disobey Allah, then you're not allowed to obey them. And this is the same for any person. So we have to obey our parents. Even if a person's parents are kuffar, mushrikeen, that person still has to obey the parents. Unless they order him to disobey Allah, then it is not allowed to obey them. The imam of the masjid, his authority has to be accepted amongst the congregation. But if he orders the people to disobey Allah, then we are not allowed to obey him. And there are other ayat as well. As for the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, many ahadith. So for example, in the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَ فِي الْعُسْرِ وَالْيُسْرِ, that upon the Muslim, meaning it is an obligation upon every Muslim, السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَ, that he has to hear, obey and accept the authority of the ruler over him. Fil usri wal yusr, in difficulty and ease. Wal manshati wal makrah, and when he's pleased with something or when he's displeased with something. Ma lam yu'mar bi ma'siyatillah, as long as he's not ordered to disobey Allah. Fa in umira bi ma'siyatin, so if a person is ordered with disobedience to Allah, fala sam'a wa la ta'a, then there's no hearing and then there's no obeying. And just because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you are ordered with disobedience to Allah, then you shouldn't obey the ruler, it doesn't mean to rebel against the ruler. So there's a difference between not obeying the ruler and rebelling against the ruler. And we have to differentiate between these two things. The ahadith and the ayah tell us that we have to obey the ruler at all times, whether it is something that we like or we don't like, whether it is something easy or it is difficult. If he orders us to disobey Allah, then that order, we do not accept it. But it doesn't mean that we then call out for rebellions and his authority is removed. And the next ahadith will prove this. Also from the ahadith is the hadith of Irbad ibn Sariya in the Sunan, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, I admonish you with the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, wassam' wa ta'a, wa in ta'ammara alaykum abdun habashiyun, and to hear and obey and accept the authority of the ruler, even if it is an Abyssinian slave. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الْأَمِيرِ فَأَطَاعَنِي وَمَنْ عَصَى الْأَمِيرِ فَقَدْ عَصَانِي, whoever shows obedience to the ruler has shown obedience to me, and whoever disobeys the ruler has disobeyed me. And then there are other hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about evil rulers and corrupt rulers, and how should we, as citizens of that country, how should we behave with this ruler who is corrupt oppressive or he is evil. So in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Satakunu athara wa umurun tunkirunaha," that there will come a time when those who have authority over you will be athara, meaning they will prefer themselves over your benefits. Either will be corrupt people, they will rule with corruption. وَأُمُورٌ تُنْكِرُونَهَا, and you will see things which you do not like, things which are un-Islamic. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَمَا تَأْمُرُونَا, so the people said, "O Messenger of Allah, if we live until that time, when there will be rulers who prefer themselves to the people, and when they will do things which we do not approve of, what should we do?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "تُؤَدُّونَ الْحَقَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ الَّذِي لَكُمْ," that you should fulfill the right which is upon your shoulders, or you should fulfill the responsibility which is upon your shoulders, meaning the responsibility of السمع والطاعة, and you should ask Allah for your right, meaning you're allowed to make dua that, "Oh Allah, rectify this ruler, oh Allah, give him justice." As for rebelling against him, no. You have to fulfill the responsibility which is upon your shoulders, and that is السمع والطاعة. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went one step further and he mentioned a situation which is even worse. In the hadith of Hudhayfa, and the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, and note, all of the hadith which you have mentioned is Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said clearly, "Sayakunu ba'di a'imma," that after me there will be a'imma, imams, rulers over the people. "La yahtaduna bihadi," and they do not take guidance from my guidance. "Wala yastannuna bisunnati," and they do not practice my sunnah. "Wasayaqumu fihim rijalun," and there will be men amongst them, meaning there will be some rulers. "Qulubuhum quluba shayateen," their hearts will be like the hearts of shayateen. This is how much evil they will have. "Fi jithman al-ins," but in the bodies of the human beings. Meaning they are people, but inside them is only evil. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said, "Kayfa asna'u ya Rasulallah in adraktu thalik." He said, "O Messenger of Allah, if I live in a time in which the ruler above me, he does not follow your guidance, and he does not follow your sunnah, and he's so evil and corrupt that he has the hearts of the shayateen, but in the body of a human, what should I do? How should I react in that situation?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Tasma' wa tuti' amirak," you should listen and hear and obey your amir, your ruler. "Wa in daraba dhahraka wa akhadha malak fa ati'u asmi'," even if he takes your wealth, i.e. corruption, stealing, oppressing, or he's beating your back, then accept his authority and listen and obey him. Why is this? Because whenever there is a rebellion in a country, and whenever the authority of a ruler, a Muslim ruler, is diminished, then it only leads to more chaos. And notice we said the Muslim ruler. So this is different to a ruler who is so corrupt that his actions have reached a level of kufran akbar. So if his actions reach the level of major kufr, then this right of his for the people to accept his authority, it is removed. Then the people are allowed to rebel against him, but then there's other conditions. So then the other conditions apply. Do the Muslims have the ability to rebel against him? Do the Muslims have the ability to replace him with a person who is better than him? If the Muslims were to rebel against him, fight against him, will it bring a greater harm upon the Muslims, or will it bring a good upon the Muslims? So if these questions cannot be answered, then even that person, there can be no rebellion against him. And the kufr, which the ruler has to fall into, has to be major kufr. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِلَّا أَن تَرَوْ كُفْرًا بَوَاحًا, unless you see a clear kufr from which you have an evidence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning it can't be suspicions, it can't be rulers, it can't be something which the ulama have differed over. It has to be clear, proven kufr. Only then is a rebellion allowed, but with the other conditions being fulfilled. And the ahadith with regards to as-sam' wa ta'a, they are what the scholars called mutawatir. And mutawatir means many, many ahadith. So many hadith, it's not possible for them to be weak. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he has a whole chapter, and the chapter is called Bab as-sam' wa ta'a lil-imam. The chapter of listening and obeying and accepting the authority over the imam. And Al-Imam al-Muslim in his Sahih, he has a whole book called Kitab al-Imara, the book of authority, the book of governance. And these ahadith and many other ahadith are mentioned in these chapters. And then the author said, وَقَدْرًا, that this principle has also been explained not only in the Sharia, but also what you see around us. So if you look at the history of the Muslims, in fact, you don't need to look at the history, just look today, just the past 5 or 10 years. In any country in which the ruler was corrupt, but he was a Muslim, and the people rebelled against him, it has only caused more bloodshed, more chaos, the weakening of the country, the loss of the strength, and the actions of the Khawarij are not far from us. So just now, look at all of the Muslim countries, we don't need to mention the names. You will see all of the Muslim countries are in that state. They rebelled against the ruler who was corrupt. They thought something better would come, but nothing came. So even history, qadran, even the universal signs have shown us that this action of rebelling against the Muslim ruler, as long as he remains a Muslim, rebelling against him due to corruption or due to some level of oppression, it only brings more harms upon the Muslims. And then the author, he said that this principle nowadays is become a principle which even the people of knowledge who claim knowledge, they're not aware of this principle. Never mind the people acting upon it. And this is something, like the author said, min ajab al-ujab, from the strange affairs. How can this principle be so clear in the Quran, ayat in the Quran? How can the ahadith regarding this principle in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and they are mutawatir, and so many statements of the Sahaba, so many statements of the Salaf, and also knowing that this is a major difference between Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Bid'ah, and knowing that this was the actions of the Khawarij, and how many severe ahadith came regarding the Khawarij, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hum kilab an-nar," that they are the dogs of the hellfire. Na'udhu billah. Despite all of these ayat, ahadith, principles, statements of the Sahaba, statements of the Salaf, yet still many of the groups and many of the sects, either they don't know these principles or they go against these principles. These ahadith, which I've mentioned, you will only find the Salafi ulama who teach these ahadith, even though they are in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Why didn't we find books written by the other groups and their scholars regarding this? Yet this thing is so clear. And now, what's the situation now? That the mujahid and the brave one and the real scholar, he is the one who rebels against the ruler. He is the one who causes fasad upon the ummah. He is the one who causes death for the Muslims. He is the one who causes the Muslim country to be weakened. And as for the scholar who advises people to not rebel, to accept the authority of the ruler, to accept his command, even if he has corruption or oppression, then they say, they give him names. They say he is a government scholar, he is a puppet of the government. So this is how Shaitan has deceived the people. The author, rahimullah, in the first three principles, he mentions three things. The first of them, ikhlasuddin, that you have to make your worship for Allah alone. That was the first principle. The second principle is al-ijtima', that you have to be united. And the third principle is as-sam' wa ta'a. These three principles, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned all three of them in a single hadith. In fact, in more than one hadith, in this order. So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ لَا يَغِلُّ عَلَيْهِنَّ قَلْبُ الْمُؤْمِنِ, that there are three things. If a believer has these three things, then his heart will never be envious, or there will be no spite in his heart. There are three things, three commands of the Sharia. If you fulfill these three commands, you will not fight, you will not find in your heart any type of ghil. And ghil is spite or malice or envy or ill feelings. The first of them, he said, إِخْلَاصُ الدِّينِ لِلَّهِ, that sincerity in religion for Allah. Second, لُزُومُ الْجَمَاعَةِ, that a person stays close to the main body of the Muslim, meaning united. And thirdly, he said, giving advice to the Muslim ruler. Also, in the hadith of Ibn Umar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا وَيَكْرَهُ لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا. Allah loves three things for you, and He hates three things for you. He said, أَن تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, that you should worship Allah alone, and you should not ascribe partners to Him. This is the first principle. Then he said, وَأَن تَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, that all of you should be united, holding on to the rope of Allah, and not to be disunited. The second principle. And then third, he said, وَأَن تَنَاصَحُوا مَنْ وَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَكُمْ, and that you should give sincere advice to the one who has authority over you. And this is the principle of السمع والطاعة. So these three principles are from the major principles of our religion. And yet so few people talk about them. Firstly, التوحيد, and staying away from الشرك. Secondly, calling to the unity of the Muslims and not disuniting and dividing the Muslim different sects and different groups. And thirdly, the issue of السمع والطاعة, hearing and obeying and accepting the authority of the Muslim rulers, even if there is corruption or oppression, as long as they do not reach the level of kufrun akbar, or they do not order you with disobedience. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that whoever has these three things in him, he will not find this ghil in his heart, this hatred, this jealousy, envy? Why will he not find it in his heart? Because first of all, the person who has tawheed and ikhlas, he does everything only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, there's no space in his heart for personal benefits. Secondly, a person who calls for the people to be united and leave the divisions and the disunity and leave all of the sects and to follow the way of the Salaf, this person is working for the betterment of the Ummah. He's not working for his own betterment. And therefore, his heart is sound. And the one who accepts and obeys the authority of the ruler, then he is a person, even if that ruler is oppressing him, then again, there's nothing personal inside him. So he will sacrifice his own personal benefit for the principle of accepting the ruler, or accepting the authority of the ruler. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.